Hey, I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
And we're the Leftovers.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
I did not agree to that.
Hello, Chris.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, how are you rolling today? Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep Chris rolling.
I could roll if you quit cutting me off whenever I try to speak.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
Where are we at today? We're back in Studio C. It's good to be back home. Ambient lighting and the nice
You didn't enjoy what I did to Studio A to make it suitable?
Well, they made us move out. Here we are, back in C.
Well, because it's already preoccupied, so.
It's all good. It's all good.
Back in Studio C.
Anywhere we go, as long as we get our wonderful, wonderful fans listening and giving us ideas for shows.
All thanks, 11.
Thanks, fan. Thanks, fan, for the
show today. We have 11 fans. Thank you very much.
100.
Well, listen, I won't say they're fans. I'll say they're listeners.
Yeah.
If they were fans, they would share it.
Technology. Thank you, fan, for the technology show today. Thursday.
This is all just filler for some reason.
It's Thursday.
Okay.
Technology day.
Talking about technology.
Yeah, we are. It's, you know, as I did some research, I come to find out that this is a lot broader subject than I had expected. I don't know why. I really didn't give it a lot of thought when we first started talking about it, but after I started doing some research, it's a broad subject. Very broad. We're going to talk about some things today you're not expecting. I'll just go ahead and tell you that.
Knowing you, I was feeling to expect almost anything. Yeah. So
you can believe that.
But I mean,
surprised myself on this one.
There's technology in almost literally almost everything that we do. There's computers.
Somebody had to think of it and then get scared about it and then work on it. I've got some examples of some of these. That's why I'm bringing it up.
I mean, you're talking about technology. I mean, they needed, after slavery was abolished, technology had to come through and make the... Was it the cotton gin that was made first?
You could say that.
I mean, they had to use technology to make up for the lack of
that Eli Whitney.
I don't remember. That was too long ago. But what I'm saying is, technology it depends on what you mean by technology. Because a lot of people think when you say technology, it's the computer, the phone, the lights.
Those
are technology, but people don't go past that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to.
Yes, we are, but people don't. When people say technology, they don't think of, well, the cotton gin.
Well, let's give you a.
Why don't you give me a definition? That is your favorite thing to do. Give definitions. Give me a definition.
We like definitions to technologies. The study of scientific knowledge in order to create tools and processes that may be used to change the world by increasing efficiency in nearly every aspect of our life. The first part of that, the study of scientific knowledge in order to create tools and processes that may change our lives, which in our lifetimes, mine, a little longer than yours, I have seen some technologies come and go that, when I was doing the research, really opened my eyes. There's not a lot of technologies that you see come and go in a lifetime. Just take the color television.
All right.
The black and white one, we're going to talk about the color one.
But something I want to talk about before we go into this is when most people, colloquially,
big word from the big guy.
I think I'm using it correctly this week.
I liked last week's word, too. That was neat.
I think it was actually the same word.
No.
No. Okay. Well, the way most people in today's society, when they say tech or technology, they're meaning basically anything that you could buy at a Best Buy store. The computers, the phones,
you're right.
The smartwatches, the smart doorbells, the people... we now use the word tech or technology.
The smart ding dong.
Smart doorbell.
That's what I said.
No, you said ding dong. Ding dong and doorbell are different. But here's where I'm going.
All right.
We, going back to our podcast on words. Going back to our podcast on words, things have certain definitions in a Webster's dictionary.
They do. You're right.
But then when people in the world use them, they have different meanings or incomplete meanings. They don't actually, the way people use them is not the definitional way of using the word. Just like last week, we talked about...
can you see the look on my face from over there?
I can, but okay. Frankly, I don't care. This is also my podcast.
I just wondered. Confusion. I don't know if you could see through my glasses or not.
Yeah, okay. The definition of the word in the dictionary doesn't change. But the way people use it...
Well, it depends on which dictionary you read. Because looking up the word technology from Webster's to this one to that one to the other one, they're all different.
But they're
roughly the same, but all different.
But there again, as a society, we change the meanings of words like tech or technology. The definition you just gave. Mm-hmm. Is meaning towards just anything that helps save time or save effort when you work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tech. Mm-hmm.
But today, the majority of people, when they talk about tech, aren't they wouldn't use tech or technology to be talking about a...
Washing machine.
A washing machine or a plow. Or a excavator, people would see those as tools, but they wouldn't see that as tech or technology.
That's okay. You can be ignorant about something. It doesn't matter.
That's what I was getting to, is the way that we use the word technology or what we think of technology today. Mm-hmm. We're going off of the definition of it and not...
You're correct.
And not just the colloquial term of a computer, a smartwatch, a smart doorbell, or...
They're all technologies. But it goes further than that. Color television, 1951. You know, I think I had a black and white. You ever watch black and white TV? The actual TV, not the program. But the television that you're walking on. That's a technology I'd like to see. Watching on.
Have I ever watched a black and white TV? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So in 1951, and I'm going to imagine it was very expensive to have one of these. So I'm going to guess my family didn't have one of these in 1951 later on. So... that was an invention that showed up in 1951. But you wonder how many years prior to 1951, I didn't study that, but how many years prior to 1951 was someone or a group of someone's working on color television? Because it had to be very scary. It's like, oh, here's, you know, that's what technology is. You get scared about something, then you go to work on it. Then you perfect it, and then it's an invention, and then the price comes down, and everybody gets one. Who doesn't have a colored television in their household nowadays? Not many.
Very few people.
Very few. 1955, microwave oven invented. Now, it didn't make everybody's house as quick as the colored television, I'm guessing. The first microwave oven I saw, I'm thinking early 80s. Thinking. So that's when average people got them. And, boy, they were large, larger than they are today, and took up, they used some energy to run. It wasn't in the 50s. This was in the 80s. The next one I found, 1958, the pacemaker was invented. Now, when we think, do you know anybody has one implanted in them?
No longer living.
Oh, no longer living. But I know some folks with one and save their lives.
Yeah.
Great technologies there, but you wonder, okay, how do you come up with something like that? I mean, I'm not a doctor, granted. I'm guessing, though, to help the heart stay on rhythm to implant, that had to be like next level when you're just thinking about it. But for someone, or like I say, groups of someone's, expensive, lots of money involved, I'm guessing.
Majority of inventions were taken. One person had the idea of, okay, I want to try to make
the heart beat on rhythm.
We'll say I want to make a civil engineer wants to make a pacemaker. He can throw things together that can possibly pump blood, but at the same
time, what about the uncivil engineer?
At the same time, he doesn't have all the medical knowledge of, okay, what is the perfect amount of beats per minute?
Yeah.
How do I change the blood flow? How do I make this to where it fits in the body? Mm-hmm. So he has to get information from multiple doctors.
You think most inventions, though, you have to screw up before you get it right?
Yes.
To some degree?
Yes.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is one person has the initial idea, and then he then starts making prototypes, but he still has to have more information than what he just knows on his own. He has to learn more from either books, which would then be from other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it's more than just a single person with an idea.
Groups, 1961 was an invention that has affected our lives. The cordless drill. We use those a lot here at Cogswell Cogs.
And I don't see how you remember that every week.
In 1961, that's a while back. That's way before me. And I didn't own a cordless drill until the 1980s, 90s, somewhere in there.
I was going to say, I've seen corded drills, but for my whole life,
it's always cordless.
Cordless drills have been the big thing.
I had a Craftsman cordless drill. Now, you didn't remove the battery. You plugged a little looks like a aux cable into it and plugged it in the wall.
I had a drill like that, but it was very terribly made.
Okay.
Back when you're talking about, that would have been a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the newest thing. That's awesome. But when I look at it from
the piece of crap
that I had, the thing's been made out of a plastic mold, and
that's exactly what mine was. It was a Craftsman, but it was a plastic mold, and the head on it was like a quarter inch drive or something. It's terrible, but at the time, I've still got it. I should have had it with me
today. Well, that's another thing, cool. It shows how they used to make things to last.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it works, but I've still got it.
You could probably get it to work.
It's a, It's not, you can't take any, you can't get into it without messing it
without
up.
Without breaking something.
1969, smoke detector. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool invention. 69, also the internet was put to use. Not for everyone, but it was a thing. 1973, the MRI. There's a big deal. You ever had one of those?
Nope, I can. Well,
noisy.
I can't remember if I have.
Do you have
or
a
not.
Problem with like repetitive loud noises? Need some headphones.
I have two kids.
Well, this is repetitive though.
I have two kids.
Daddy, the PC was created 1977. Also, 1977, the Atari.
Was the
original Atari. Was
when you
made.
Say the PC was PC made.
Was created.
Was created. So created. That was the business computer?
Sure.
The big.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The personal computer.
Oh, yeah. That was way on down the line. 77, also the Atari was invented. I have a story about the Atari. 82, the CD was invented. I remember getting my very first compact disc at a, I believe, my memory's right, it was at the mall, at the one of the music stores, and they came in these long cardboard sleeves, and at the end of it was your...
The big CD. Ones?
Was well, yeah, the long... That's just so they could display it.
I was saying, were they the first...
No, you're talking about the movie things that...
Well, they were like that, but I thought that the first CDs were a bigger thing than what we knew them to be.
The regular CD that you know of is, yeah. But my very first one, I remember getting, it was a big deal. It was a huge deal. Ooh, this is next. This is super level technology, you know, which it was.
For the time.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Here's something else to think about. We keep saying for the time, even when when something new comes out, it is then obsolete because somebody else is already working on the next big thing.
Yeah. And every technology that I've mentioned, there was a couple of more, 98, the MP3, and then 01, the iPod. I remember the iPod. Now, that was going to get rid of all the other kind of music. That
devices.
We collected the cassette, the album, the CD, the whatever, the laser disc. That was the one I was trying to think of.
I mean, they've gone away.
Going to get rid of all of that.
They've gone away from making the iPods,
right? And now you're on your cell phone. But I still own every piece of music that I just mentioned: the album, the cassette, the CD. I don't have a laser disc, or I don't have a reel-to-reel player as well. But maybe I'm the only one. No, there's many other people. Enjoy what I once had. I enjoy those. I don't look at them as high tech now.
But vintage?
But they are tech.
Vintage
still.
Yeah. Vintage
I still, stuff? I still enjoy it. But here's the thing. I'll only play a record, an LP. I'll probably get in the mood for about an hour every other month. So six times a year for about an hour, I'll play an LP. And I'll think, this sucks.
The quality?
This is terrible. And then I'm done with it.
Because, I mean, it's like I said, as soon as somebody comes out with something, there's somebody else right behind them that is coming out with the next upgraded thing. You started off with, I don't know where it you went from records to.
There was eight tracks after records.
Then there was the, I was thinking of eight tracks there. So it was records, eight tracks, cassettes to CDs to
iPod.
MP3s, mm-hmm. which MP3. An iPod I don't
right. plays the MP3.
Yes. And, I mean, even to this day, We still have the format of MP3 or MP4.
Yeah,
but
hey, our show, MP3.
But
this technology here is a just crazy amazing to me that we can sit here and talk, have conversation, and then upload this deal, and other people can listen to it exactly how we did it. That's amazing to me.
Well, I mean, you look.
Thank you, Internet.
Talk about storing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, to have a, back in the 90s, to have a terabyte of storage.
Oh, wow. You couldn't afford that. The government couldn't afford it.
No, the government was controlling it. They would have had
crazy amounts. Yeah.
There would have had to have been an entire room full of individual drives to come up with a terabyte of storage.
Now you can throw it on a laptop. A cell phone. You know.
Now you can throw it in a micro SD card.
That's crazy.
Just a terabyte.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I was reading about, and this is all your side of the world, but I was reading when I was reading about the technologies up and coming, which I'm going to share some here. It's just eye opening, but the storage, not units, but ways to store information up and coming, which is probably like tomorrow the storage area on such a small area is amazing.
I can remember.
I remember my first PC, Chris. 166
kilobit
megahertz.
Oh, megahertz
was my first PC, and yeah. I played online.
Hey,
online racing with a friend of mine. We'd make it about a half a lap before it wigged out, and we were done.
See, growing up, our internet was never that good.
America Online, baby. You've got mail. That sounds just like it.
Juno. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard. Yeah. I know people that have Juno accounts.
Oh.
Or email.
He still does.
Yeah.
But
America Online, you couldn't get rid of it. Once you got it.
Once you got it. But I can remember when the first gigabyte hard drive was so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw a mechanical hard drive, which is the thicker ones. It's a hard drive, not a solid state or whatever. 22 terabytes just in that one enclosure. And so it takes 1,000 gigabytes to equal a terabyte. This has 22 terabytes.
Okay. With that thought, how far in the future do we have to be before that sounds like 166 megahertz?
I think it takes a little while just because we're still in the age where a full downloaded video game, I mean, with how great graphics and everything are for video, majority of people that have these larger hard drives is mainly for gaming, because games are very large sized, and media, whether it's a backup for
your
pictures, music, movies, TV shows that you own. Excuse me, goodness.
That second Mountain Dew got you.
Yes, it did. That's what those larger forms are for.
I wanted to quickly share before I flip the page here. 1977, we had a house fire. And I did. My family. Everybody's good. But we lost everything. And so when we got to replenishing the house, me and my brother got a stereo.
Ooh.
AM, FM, record player. I don't know what else. Maybe it had an 8-track on it. I don't know. But anyway, it had lights on it that flashed. We're still in the era of American Bandstand, flashy lights, that kind of
thing.
What's
American Bandstand?
Well, look it up sometime. But that stereo stayed around in our household for a while. And, you know, we improved the speakers. We got bigger speakers. and got in trouble a lot with my father, and he was going to, well, skip that. But that piece of technology in our room, a loud stereo with lights that flashed, you know, was a big deal. It impacted my life. I love music to this day. And I wonder, without that stereo, does my love for music look the same? I don't know.
Probably not. Maybe not. I mean, when you look at, we'll go to your example of, you were talking about your stereo system and how you got bigger, better speakers and
improved
all this.
We improved it, quote unquote.
Well, that was in a time where your, I'll say tuner, which is the main thing that
receiver.
Your receiver can be from one company. Your speakers can be from another one. Your CD player can be from a different
CD. What are you talking about?
Okay, your 8-track can be from
an 8-track player.
Can be from a. You could mix and match all these things, and they would all work because for that time, everything was made to be so that you could either have the highest or the lowest, or mix it all in between to where you have whatever you could have what you wanted in the quality of your music. Now today, a majority of that mixing and matching isn't there because a lot of these companies have realized that, oh, I can make my own certain thing, my own certain plug, so that you have to have my receiver, my different tuners, my speakers, my Bluetooth adapter or whatever, because CDs are obsolete.
That's true.
And you have to get it from that company.
Yep.
And if...
like Apple was doing with their charger cord for many years.
Oh, yeah.
And same principle. And it's just charging a phone.
And you know for a fact, the next chance they get that they can do something like that, they're going to do
it. Sure. Stay ahead of the game. It's all about the money.
Well, I mean, it's always been about the money, but at the same time, people realized back in that day that the happier the customer, the more money that they are willing to spend with you.
I agree. It's about relationships as well. In 1982, I can't remember, somewhere in that time,
somewhere over the rainbow,
I got an Atari 2600, yes, and a black and white TV, because the Atari had a switch. You could put black and white or color. I didn't know what that was for. It didn't matter. Mine looked the same on the black and white TV, but a television in my room with an Atari, mind you. I was uptown, son. That was the bomb.
Why weren't you downtown?
Yeah, you know, some were, some weren't. My question is, though, because I spent a lot of time on the Atari, all right? I spent less time outside. Now, was that improvement that I thought was an improvement, was it really an improvement to my life, or was it a detraction? That's something that I've thought about for a while. And as you know, it improved my skills with jumping and
in a video game. It didn't help your real life jumping skills.
In a video game, it helped my skills and driving a very pixelated car up a road that, yeah, it, let's just say, to today's standards, it's not. To today's standards of your cell phone games, it's not anything near that. But at that time, cutting edge technologies.
Now you have it to where you could take what's called a AAA game, which is from one of the bigger video game companies. They can allow, I'll just use Xbox Cloud Gaming as something.
Go right ahead.
Xbox gives somebody who has a certain tier of their streaming service to say, hey, all these games you can stream to your phone. Mm-hmm. It's technically playing on a computer at the cloud headquarters.
Yeah.
But you're able to stream from that computer to your phone and have a controller hooked up to your phone and play a 100-something gigabyte game on your phone.
I can't fathom that working.
People do it all the time.
I'm with you. I'm just saying, in my mind, see, I come from a time when you played a game system, like I told you, the Atari, the original 2600 that I had. You took the cartridge, you put it in the machine, you flipped it on, and then you played it. Today's time, up until, well, a few years ago when my son played Xbox, I play Xbox, and I would take the game on the disc, put it in the thing, play it. He was under the impression, load the game up, play it.
Download it to the
not
system.
Not have the actual game. Didn't matter to him. Still doesn't matter. It does to me. I want the game in my hand. He thinks that's archaic and old, and that's what old folks do. Possibly. But I said, what happens? Son, what happens when you lose all your games? Because they're just on there ever how. What happens when you lose them all? And here I am, and I can pick up my disc, I can put it in the machine, and I can play it.
Except for whenever it says you have to have an update for this game to be able to play, and the storage place that also held your games no longer is able to give you that update that the system needs.
Tomato, tomato.
No, that's completely
that
two different.
That means exactly the same.
No, it's two completely
if
different
you've got
things.
Your disc in your hand, you better hope your mom don't walk in.
If you have a disc in your hand, yes, there is a possibility you could stick it in there and still play it.
Yeah.
But after...
Possibility.
But if you've updated your system so many times to get all of the kinks and everything taken out, you will get to the point where you have to update the system that is even on the disc.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Been there, done that.
But
or didn't.
But there
didn't play it.
But then again, you need the update from the server that you've lost all your games from. You can no longer play the disc game.
I get it. But in my mind, I'm playing the Atari. Okay?
Still playing Pitfall. We're talking about the real world.
I'm still playing Pitfall.
We are talking about the real world and not the fantasy world that is in your mind.
In the early 90s, we got our first cell phone. Now, it wasn't the kind that was in a sack that people carried around like they were in the military.
I never knew about those.
Oh, yeah. And then there was the ones that was just in your car, like in the console, and you couldn't take it out. It was just there. You lifted it up, you got the phone out and talked, and hung it back up.
I remember seeing that in old movies.
That, ours, well, it was large. It was probably about as big as a cell phone today, but it had a screw-on antenna, like a whip antenna, a rubber antenna. Or the little short one, if you want to go sporty model.
Ooh.
Had the little short antenna. But all you did on the cell phone was make phone calls. I know that's old. But you also had a thing called roaming, which where you live, you probably just roamed constant back in those days. But if you got out of your area, and your area was very small, when you got out of your area and you started roaming, your phone would say roaming, but when you got the bill, it really said, there were roaming charges that you were charged, and it was ridiculous.
Yes, one of the new, when I got my first cell phone, it was a brand new feature that in the settings of your phone, you could turn roaming off, so you could not use your phone if you were technically roaming.
Yeah. Because I know in those days, early 90s, when I'm talking about, your area of calling was very small. It was versatile. But you still had the option. And I think, I personally think, the cell phone changed our lifestyles more than anything I can ever remember that was invented in the time I was living.
Well, anything that has to do with communication is going to be a change. That will be a change in lifestyle. Yeah.
When I was a teenager and I would go out around town and there was no way to contact the parents if you were going to be late. If your curfew was 11, that meant 11. There was no looking for a phone, which they did have pay phones for a quarter. You could put a quarter in and call, but, you know, they were sparse and probably weren't where I was at. So if you were going to be late, you wasn't. Today, if you have a teenager out and about and they have a cell phone glued to their hand, you can contact them.
Well, and I mean,
you have a safety today that you didn't have 40 years ago.
I mean, going back to that, where I've got friends who were
teenagers
in the 90s before literally everyone had phones, and they would, the time was so safe and secure that if they were going to be late or something, depending on the time, they could walk up to somebody's house, knock on the door, hey, can I use your phone to call my mom and dad?
Sure.
And so, I mean.
And you probably could today I live. But here's the thing. You're going to run into a house today that ain't like it was then.
Nope.
You can find some that are, but you're also going to find some on the very opposite end of that.
Yep.
So cell phones, I find to be a huge plus. And as I was doing this, I started to think about the VR world. I owned a little setup for a while. I enjoyed playing it and saw a lot of potential in it. But I also, I don't know, I lost interest quick on it.
And you lose interest on a lot of things.
It's not true. I hold on to a lot of things. If the VR system was great, I'd still be playing it right now. I don't care how old it is. I'll play an Atari right now. You hook me up an Atari, I'm playing it. Because it was good. It was cutting edge, which the VR, I mean, that stuff is cutting edge stuff.
VR has been around for a lot longer than people think. But
everything has.
But the thing is the newer stuff is getting to where it is more affordable.
And that really matters.
Yes. When you talk about the first biggest VR setup was either the Valve Index or the there was another.
That's a weird name.
I can't think of the other company. But the thing about it is, though, you had to have the headset, then you had to have their specialty headphones, you had to have their controllers, then you had to have certain VR cameras that could then get dimensions for that you could stand in a 10 by 10 square.
Yeah.
And
got all that.
That was close to, if not over, $1,500.
And all corded at the same
time. Yes, and all corded.
Long cords.
We are to the, and that, and to run that, you had to have a very upscaled computer.
My engines were running on my computer. It sounds like it was overheating the whole time.
We are to the point now where Facebook, or I say Facebook,
they ruined my VR experience, by the way.
The company that owns Facebook is Meta.
Sucks. Sorry.
Meta has now gotten to the point where they've made their own VR headset and controllers
and ruined everybody else's.
because it is completely and utterly wireless. It is. It all runs on the system that is in the headset that already has its own headphones attached to it. And to get the, I think the largest sized storage is 528 gigabytes. You're talking about something that went from the bare minimum 1500 to the highest price point right now of, I think it's 699 for, no, it's 512. Not 528, the 512 gigabyte storage system for the Valve Index 3. So you're talking about cutting it in half, not needing anything else other than a Facebook or Instagram account to interact with it. And they're willing to, I mean, with all video game systems, they're willing to take a loss on the system to overcharge you on the games, because you're not going to just get a VR headset to sit there and watch something. Movies. You're going to want games. So they upsell you on all the games and they'll make their money back on that.
I was playing all the free stuff on my VR. And you know what the free stuff is?
Crap. Yeah, so you got to pay for the good stuff.
I paid for a couple of games, and they were good. They were the newest, hottest, latest, whatever. But I thought that one of the larger gaming systems needed to step in there and be like, yeah, we're offering this on the Xbox or the whatever the next newest thing was. And we're also offering it over here. I think that would have helped that whole system out. But, yeah, they didn't.
Well, I mean, PlayStation had their PlayStation VR. And you could, I mean, they've had some of the exact same games that you would have.
But that's to accompany the PlayStation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Talking about standalone, say the Oculus system. Maybe, I don't know, John Madden would step in and be like, we have this football game especially for the VR system. You know, you can't play it anywhere else, but I mean, what you play on here, there, and the other is good, but this is especially for the VR system. Something with a huge name like that, I think, would have really helped out. And it possibly will in the future. I don't know.
But it's gonna take a while to get there.
Yeah. And, you know, I had wrote something here about technology research, whenever it begins, it's scary and expensive.
Yes.
The very first VCR in the 1950s, they had an idea that people did not want appointed time television. They wanted to have their own copy of said television program. So, got to work on it. A lot of large words involved in the very first VCR. But in layman's terms, the size of a desk and $50,000. Today's terms, that's $500,000 worth of a VCR. Needless to say, individuals were not able to own one. So as they worked on the technology, and it took them from the 1950s, up to 1972, a new version was available, and it would cost you $15 to record 15 minutes worth of programming. So in order to record a 30-minute program of Andy Griffith, it was going to cost you $30. Plus, the machine itself was going to run you $1,500. $9,000 in today's money. Again, individuals, rich folks at the time, if you will, probably wanted one, and it probably was hard to work. And so it took all the way up to the 80s for these things to start getting reasonable, $200 to $400 for an individual. Again, high, but people could afford that. You saved up some, you could get this new invention. not so new invention, but new technology that you could have in your household. I remember us getting our very first VCR. You could record, this was just awesome to be able to record whatever, because up to that point, you watched television and then it went away. You know, if you saw something happen on a football game or a NASCAR race, or NASCAR races weren't on until nothing 1979. Left of it. Yeah, it was gone. It's just in your memory. If a program, the Dukes of Hazzard or something that people enjoyed watching, if it came on and you were there on Friday night at 7 o'clock to watch it, and then you were able to talk about it, which, again, I think technology has killed a lot of conversations. But in our case, it's caused us to conversate more. So, I mean, there's a give and take there. But for the VCR, and guess what? Guess what, Chris? You're not going to believe this. I have a working VCR. Just saying.
Hey, hey, hey. So do I.
Okay.
I mean, you're acting like it's a flex or something.
No, it's not. I thought it was kind of a slam on your. Oh yeah, where's your 8-tracks there, partner?
I don't have any 8-tracks. I do have a VCR though.
I was never an 8-track partner. Actually, 8-tracks come along prior to me owning any kind of thing. So 8-track, but cassettes now. I still have a whole container of cassettes.
Do you have a TV that has the red, yellow, and white inputs?
I do.
I need to come see you then.
In the rear. Yeah, I've got all that.
See, I don't have that.
I've got all that. So, as I was reading, I do want to say a shout out to Will. Apes gonna ape. I like that.
There is something wrong with you.
Future technologies that this to me was more, and with any of the technologies that we've already talked about, at one time, they were future technologies. And then they become present technologies, and now they're past technologies, low tech, if you will. But one, the cashless store. Future technologies. Cashless store. What's your thought on that, Chris?
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, it's already happening.
Let me rephrase that. It's not going to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
And be a huge thing anytime soon.
I think if they make it, what's the word? Like, well, I believe it or not, Chris, I have drawn a blank.
What? You can't think of a word? Oh, my goodness.
Since you're the big word guy, what's the word I'm thinking of? If they make it not out of reach, but where the upper folks thinks it's cool. What's that word? Posh? Or
that would be, I guess, posh. But yeah.
If they made it that way on the front end, like if you went to this store, you are, you know, not just anybody can
see,
go.
But even then, I don't think it would. As of right now, mm-hmm. I don't believe that it would catch on. It's just okay. Because of in today's society, mm-hmm. with more and more people now paying attention to the economy than mm-hmm. ever, because when the crash happened, not everybody was paying attention to the market, or not even a lot of people were paying attention to the market. When it crashed, it hit everybody.
Which crash are you talking about? 1920s, 1980s, 2008? Just wondering which one you're talking about.
The 80s and the 2000s, we call it a crash, but mm-hmm. it's nothing compared to the crash that happened in the 20s. Mm-hmm. When it happened in the 20s, everything was gone. Now, when it happened in the 80s...
Hope was not gone.
When it happened in the 80s and the 2000s, everything wasn't gone.
A lot of people say everything was gone.
But there was still something there to rebuild on.
No, there always is. There was what you could rebuild from the 20s. It was there to
It
to
took
do.
A lot longer.
But anyway, cashless stores, you don't think will take them?
No, because we have... with the technologies that we have today, more people are able to be more in tuned with their, with not only with their money, but also the economics
of the day. But that don't have nothing to do with your money, though. It's just how the store works.
If people don't have the trust in the systems like the government and how they regulate these credit, you could say credit or even credit unions or the banks.
I think you're missing the point.
The point is people are not going to go away from cash right now.
When's the last time you used cash at a restaurant?
The other day.
I mean, rarely do people pull out cash anymore. Rarely.
Then you and I are in two different places. We are. Because I see people.
I'm in small town USA.
So am I, but I still see tons of people. Tons of people using cash.
So at our local store, you walk in. Say I had to buy cat food. That happens about once a week. And a couple of, maybe I needed some toothpaste and a roll of paper towels. So I walk in, I get my stuff, I go out, I go in, check it out, beep, 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 slide my card, I'm out the door. Takes me a couple minutes. So not a lot changes when you have a store where there's zero workers, because this store does have a couple of cashiers. If you want to do that, but it's so much slower, so much more inconvenient than to go over here and check yourself out and you're gone. I don't see the big deal in it. I like it.
What I'm getting at is people don't have the trust yet to go completely cashless just because of.
You can still carry cash, but these stores can be cashless. You can go to a cash store if that's what you need to do. But I think the cashless store is a lot quicker. So this is happening. I mean, you're in, you're out. Some of them will even have a thing to where you can have a code on a sticker or something. You beep when you walk in. You go in and get what you want. You walk out the door. You don't even have to check yourself out. It's already on your debit card.
The majority of the Dollar Generals just in the past couple weeks that I've been to all have the self-checkout. But yeah,
that's the store I was talking about.
And it's cash only. And people don't go to that machine because, yes.
A cash only checkout?
Or credit only. Mm-hmm. It's no cash.
Right, no cash. Mm-hmm.
And people don't use that.
I see everybody using it.
See, I never see anybody use it other than myself because really? I'm able to get in and out of there quick mm-hmm. because if I don't have.
Now, there's a line. We've got four registers that you can check yourself out. And there's usually a line.
The one that's right over here by our work.
Mm-hmm. Cogs.
Has a cashier person mm-hmm. that will take cash. Mm-hmm. And then the machine, the self-checkout, that takes credit and debit only. Mm-hmm. The line for the cashier mm-hmm. that takes cash is always full of people.
And we're talking about the Dollar General. If you start these stores out, the cashless stores, to be the upper echelon and the have to be store, if you will, the place to be, I think they'll take off great. I think it's going to happen.
See, anyway, I disagree with
that. You can. That's fine. Edible packaging. Edible packaging. So we have a huge problem apparently on this earth about water bottles and where does the plastic go. So they are working on a seaweed, is what it starts from, packaging. They haven't got it for the water bottle so much yet as much as other thing. But when you get something, say from Amazon or whatever, what it's wrapped up in, you're going to be able to eat it. And it's going to be gone. No trash, no waste. How awesome is that?
But they have to get it to where it's durable enough to make it through.
Like I say, it's a work in progress. I think it's a great idea. Think about eating your water bottle after you drink it.
But how many people have these ideas of trying to do this but only get to the point where they realize that it is not a sustainable idea.
That's why they're continually working on it. They have these other products that they're using as well, not just seaweed, but there's some other things that I think is awesome. Self-driving cars. What's your idea on that?
It's not a good idea.
I know my idea on it.
It's not a good idea.
It's an idea.
It's an idea, and it's not a good one.
Let's just go with it's an idea.
Because you're taking away the human element of it.
Sometimes that's good. I think in the driving aspect, not so much so. Self-driving plane, yeah, I kind of get that.
I don't.
But self-driving cars, you're so close proximity to the next vehicle. 4,000-pound car rolling down the road, and there's a glitch in the system. Yeah, that can turn out real bad real fast.
You're 30,000 feet in the air going 200 miles an hour, and there's a glitch in the system.
You can kind of recover, though, from that. There's not a plane on your six over here that's about to run you over.
Or it might glitch and put you in the path of another plane.
You're very right, it could, but I think that's... Because, I mean, that can happen with a pilot who's overworked and underpaid and he's sleeping at the wheel and, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, see, that's why there's multiple.
Airless tires on vehicles. Airless tires. I think it's a great idea. I don't think they've perfected it. It's on a lot of lawnmowers and whatnot. They have that going on. And
well, they're starting to make that with cars. And, I mean, I remember Firestone, they had their thing where... Oh, you can go up to 40 miles on a punctured tire. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're trying to make their way there. It's just
that was a run flat tire, though. This is made exclusively out of plastic.
But getting at, though, is they're working their way towards finding an airless tire to where you could run over thousands of needles and it's not going to do anything to your tire.
And the last one I have, the artificial uterus. I knew nothing about this.
Until I told you about it a couple months ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I wasn't listening. But, hey, I'm honest, okay? They do call me the truth.
Yourself that.
The artificial uterus or artificial womb, I'm guessing came about in a good manner, maybe for people who weren't able to have children, but can be used... For lack of a better term, folks that get in a situation where they aren't supposed to be having children can have a child.
Uterus. But there again, you. No, I don't
good
agree.
Good tech or not?
I think it's a good tech. Because you could have that woman or girl who was having sex with a guy that she probably shouldn't have been doing and got pregnant. And instead of killing that child, and because she doesn't want whatever happening to her body or whatever anybody else is trying to put in her head, instead of killing that child, you can put the child in a artificial womb, basically, and work on, work on finding a home for this child.
Well, and it's also being sold as the lesbian uterus, where lesbian couples can have children.
Just because something can be used for bad doesn't make it bad.
Oh, I totally agree. I do. I totally agree.
Do I agree with the gay or lesbian using it? No. But if it saves that child that was going to be aborted. Work.
I agree.
I'll take the bad.
100%.
Just I mean,
I didn't know. I'm sorry if I didn't hear you talk about that the other day.
Well, I was listening to some.
But I didn't know that sort of thing existed.
It was a couple months ago. But going back to what I was talking about then was people were talking about, you only care about the baby until it's out of the woman. You don't care about the health effects. You don't care about if we can outlaw abortion. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, mm-hmm. I will happily give my tax dollars to giving that child health care and making sure that child has breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Mm-hmm. and possibly paying to make sure that that child is living in a good environment.
Well, my tax dollar, they would just be getting snacks. No breakfast, no lunch, no dinner. They'd just be getting maybe some snacks.
But, I mean, to save that child's life,
yep.
That's what I would – I mean, there's not a lot of people that would do that, but
– I don't know. I think people are a lot better than you give them credit for.
I guess I misspoke there saying that not a lot of people. There would be quite a bit of people that would be completely against that just because they don't – they'll feel like their tax dollars are being wasted on whatever.
People will spend – will want their money spent on the school systems all day long. You don't think they'd want to save children? I think so.
I would – I want my tax dollars to go to destroying our federal school system.
Yeah. Well, here's what I want to say. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for listening. We'd like you to share this and...
I think you stalled out there, Chris. Kickstart that thing.
Well, you sit there pointing at me, making faces. I'm trying to figure out what you want.
It's just us, man. Just us.
But we would like for you to share
this and share.
Like this, and please share this with your friends and family. We would greatly appreciate to have more people listening to this.
Listen.
We'll try to do this again next week.
We will.
We might.
We will.
Possibly.